Be back in the Lord's house tonight, amen. Glad I'm saved. Glad I've been washed in the blood. I know people get tired of me hearing me say that, but I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
A lot of people's got a lot of things in their lives they're happy about and proud about, but salvation's what I'm proud about. And I'm happy about is I'm saved. And it is an honor to be back with you tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity to come, and I just want to be a help and encouragement to you. And I'd like to say, first of all, that church, you were an encouragement to me Sunday and my wife. And it's been a long time since I felt that spirit like that. And it was a blessing to be with you and just to worship God with you. And then when I was asked if I was free, what my schedule was, my schedule's pretty flexible. I've been helping Brother Delmer out some. I'll be with him this Sunday as I'm preaching homecoming at Prophet's Grove, and I look forward to that. But it's good to be back with you tonight, and I prayed, been praying since Sunday as we left, what God had had me to say tonight, and I've been all over the Bible, studying and praying and seeking the Lord's face, And the Lord has taken me to a place here in the Bible, in the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles tonight, Mark chapter number 6. And you might say that I'm not going to try to relive Sunday, but I'm going to carry on with the thought that we had Sunday morning of here about we know that Jesus is the way maker. There's not a situation that you and I find ourselves in or will find ourselves in that the Lord has not already worked out the outcome. He's already made a way for you and I to escape, to make it through, if you will, the things that we face in our lives. Everybody in this church tonight faces something different. The path that you're on tonight is different than mine, and we may face things, but we still serve the same God, Jesus Christ. He still is on the throne, he's still in control, and he's still making a way for you and I. And this is a very familiar portion of scripture in Mark chapter number 6. I'm going to start in verse number 45. Verse number 45, if you can and will, if you'll stand tonight as I read a few verses of scripture here. You pray for me tonight. My legs is tired. My mind is tired. I've got a headache that's killing me. And so you pray that God will touch us tonight. Mark chapter 6, verse number 45. The Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You may be seated. Father, tonight, Lord, as we come to you again, Father, so thankful for this beautiful day you've given us and for the health and strength to make it through here tonight. And Father, as we come to your house here tonight, Lord, we just ask that you'd meet with us. And Father, that's why we've come and we've gathered here is to worship you. And Father, I do pray tonight, Lord, that you'd just help me. I pray that you'd give me clarity of mind. Father, that you'd give me looseness of tongue. Lord, boldness to say everything I need to say and discernment, Lord, to say nothing that would dishonor you. And Father, I do pray, Lord, as we Look upon your scriptures tonight, Lord. God, you'd touch every heart and every soul here tonight. That you'd help each one of us, Lord, leave better than we've come tonight. And Father, you know what each one of us faces. You know what tomorrow holds, Lord. You've already been there. You've already worked it out. And Father, we love you. We trust you. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What we have here in the text before us tonight in the book of Mark is an interesting passage of Scripture. And when I say it's interesting in the sense to me that in verse 45, the Bible says, "And straightway he constrained the disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side." You and I have the privilege tonight to read the Word of God and read the entire account in context. But if you slow down and put yourselves into the shoes of the disciples, you understand tonight that the disciples, they had just witnessed the Lord feeding the 5,000. They had seen a great miracle, and they saw the people as they thronged Jesus, and they wanted to be with Jesus. And the disciples, they were, caught up in what was going on, and they were caught up wanting to be close to Jesus, this miracle worker. And Jesus constrains the disciples. That is, he forces the disciples to get in a ship and go to the other side before into Sadia while he went away into the mountain to pray. Now, I find it interesting that the Lord, we know, is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And the Lord knew that there was a storm brewing out on the horizon. The disciples had no idea. There's no doubt that as I read this in the wording of the context of the Scripture, the disciples didn't want to leave Jesus. They wanted to stay there. But the Lord forced them out into the storm, out into the sea, and then the storm arose. I thought about that a little bit, and I thought about how many of you like to be comfortable? Go ahead and raise your hand. I mean, nobody won't hurt you. We all like our lives to be comfortable. We like to be there. I mean, Sunday. How many of you enjoyed Sunday? I mean, just being in the presence of the Lord and how the Spirit manifested itself. I mean, we all love that. We long for that. Imagine the Lord forcing us into a ship to go away from him, while he goes off into a mountain to pray. There's times in our lives that the Lord will put us into that ship. He will put us into that ship and he'll force us out into the sea to get us to cross over to the other side of something. Not knowing what that sea might hold, not knowing what the path of our lives may hold. How many of you knows what you're going to go through tomorrow? Not a one of us. How many of you got an idea of what you want to do tomorrow? Mine consists sleep. But I know that the alarm clock in the morning is going to change all that. But I have no idea what tomorrow holds for me. I have no idea of the phone call that I might receive. I have no idea of the storm that may be on the horizon in my life. And the Lord forces the disciples to go out into the sea. Now, as you read the context here, the Bible said when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. We could stop there and preach a little while, but that's not where I want to go tonight. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the greatest example of a praying man. He stayed in constant communion with the Father. One of the greatest weapons we have in our arsenal to get it through this world is prayer. It is to pray and to seek the Lord's face. And the Bible said here that he went going up on the mountain alone to pray, to talk to God the Father. That ought to stick in our hearts, that if prayer was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. I believe oftentimes we like to work things out on our own. We've got our own mindsets of how things are going to go and what we're going to do, and we leave God out of it. We don't pray about it. We don't seek the Lord's face in it. We make a mess, and then we go to the Lord in prayer and want Him to fix it. Amen. But he went along into the mountain to pray. I'm trying to get to where I'm going tonight. And the Bible said, and when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. They're out there. They're out there rowing their boat. These fishermen, they're well seasoned and running a boat. And the Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Even though a storm has arose, they find themselves in the midst of this storm. We do not read that the disciples quit rowing. We don't read that they throw down the oars and started screaming for help. The Bible said that he saw them toiling and rowing. Church, now is not a time for us to quit. Now is not a time for us to throw down the oars, to quit just because the wind is contrary, just because the waves are crashing into our boat. Doesn't mean that we need to throw in the towel. America's in a mess. I've said it all along. America is a mess. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but it don't take a rocket scientist. Turn on the news. Pick up the local paper. America's in a mess. I was counseling with two people today. They came by work, needed some help and needed some prayer. And it's amazing at the things that people are going through. The trouble that people are finding themselves in. It's not just on the political front. These people that are having trouble with their children. Amen. You don't think the devil don't want to destroy your children? You got another thing coming. And there's a lot of families right now that they're toiling and rowing because they've got a wayward child. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're here and you've got something going on in your family, don't quit rowing. Don't give in. Don't throw down the oars. Don't quit. Don't give up on God yet. God's still in control. Amen. The Bible said he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. That is, they were going against the wind. The wind was blowing in their face. How many of you have ever been out on the water and maybe in a canoe or something, and the wind was blowing in your face? Makes it a little difficult to paddle along, amen? I'm not real big on aquatics. I told you about that Sunday, amen? I'm a shower taker. Why? I can't drown in the shower, amen? Or at least I don't think you can. But the wind was contrary. The wind's blowing against the church today. The wind is blowing against our churches today like never before. Churches are giving up. They're throwing in the towel. They're quitting. I know some preacher friends out in the Midwest that their churches, they're one of them in particular, is fixing to close the doors. After the COVID pandemic came through and people went home, and people, churches did what they had to do to keep their congregations safe. And now that they're trying to get things started back, these pastors are struggling because people won't come back and they can't afford to keep the doors open. I'm going to tell you something, church, the devil's sitting back right now having a field day. How long has it been since you heard about an old-timey, old-fashioned revival that took off in a local church around here and it went more than 3 days? How long has it been since you heard somebody stand up and testify about souls that are being saved? I knew this wouldn't be as good as Sunday. But it's still helping us tonight. Because the wind is contrary today. The devil has got a bullseye on everybody sitting in this church. He's got a bullseye on Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. He's got a bullseye on every good God-fearing Bible-preaching church around here that's trying to do something for God. The devil is trying to destroy it. And we so many times want to just throw in the towel and quit. But these disciples, they're a good lesson right here. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They kept on toiling and rowing against the wind, against the waves. They were trying to get where the Lord had sent them to go, to the other side. You and I need to try to get to the other side. We need to keep on rowing. We need to keep on praying. We need to keep on studying. We need to keep on having church. We need to keep on singing. Now's not a time to give up. The world around us needs us, amen? Boone, North Carolina is not like it was when those pictures were taken back there on the wall. Amen? It's not like it was 10 years ago. I was riding through Boone, Brother Dale, the other day, coming home from work, and I'm not degrading anybody, but what a scene made me sick to my stomach. I seen this young man walking down the street, and he had a tube top on, a skirt, earrings, and makeup, had his hair braided up, and I reckon it was a boy. I know it was a boy, amen. What is our world coming to? What is our world coming to? Girls sitting around at the college kissing girls, and boys are kissing boys. And there's so many God-fearing churches in this county. I mean, we ought to be getting together, praying God down on our county, on our little old town of Boone, North Carolina, amen? Sheltering our youngins, telling them about these things, telling them that sin is wrong. Sin will take you to hell. And it seems like as culture changes and time changes, that we just throw in the towel and say, well, we just need to love. I'm going to tell you something, church. It's time that the church stands. It's time that the church keeps on rowing, that we keep pushing forward with the foundations that our forefathers left us. But so oftentimes we throw in the towel because we don't want to be offensive. We don't want to be abrasive. We don't want to be harsh. This Bible's full of things that the Lord is against. And we skip over them. It's almost like we've quit toiling in the rowing. And we're seeing the results of it all around us. Our churches, as I said Sunday, I remember, and many of you remember, a time when this church was packed. A time when this church was packed, when people came to church praising God before they ever got here. People that came wanting to worship God. And it's not just Mount Lebanon, but when I pastored Elk Knob over there, I've heard all the old saints, they talk about the great meetings they had, how people would be standing outside, the windows open, and they'd just be having these revivals. What happened? Are you with me tonight? What happened? Our census keeps going up. That is, the number of people keeps going up in America and in our county. So it ain't the lack of people. What is it? It must be that our churches have backed up and slacked up in the sense of toiling and rowing. There was a time when somebody didn't come to church. Now, they didn't send out a crew to go get them and drag them in, but they would go see them and pray with them and see what was wrong. There was a time that the church was concerned about the souls in their community. And the churches would do whatever they had to do. They would wet the altar with their tears for lost souls. And today, so oftentimes, even from a preacher's standpoint, Well, if God wants them saved, he'll send them in here. Well, we know he came seeking to save that which is lost, right? But church, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm kicked up a rabbit and I'm chasing it. You and I have a responsibility as a church to take this gospel message to a lost and dying world, to our children, amen, to help them out, to be open, to listen to them and see what's going on in their lives. We've quit toiling and rowing in our homes. There was a time that people would sit, how many of you remember having dinner around the family table? You'd sit down and you'd talk about the day. There wasn't any TV, there wasn't any iPhones. Amen. You know, you can talk to that thing, it talk back to you. But you go out and eat somewhere now and watch how many families sit there and how many of these are in somebody's hands. How many times has youngins come into the home today and they look at daddy and say, daddy, won't you go outside and play with me? Have you ever thought maybe that's that child's way of saying, daddy, I need to talk to you? There was a time when mamas and daddies was concerned what their children were into, how their days was, and they'd sit around the family table and they'd eat a glass of cornbread and milk and they'd talk about the day. We've quit toiling and rowing in the home. We're reaping what we've sowed. You can't blame Washington for what's going on today, church. We can't blame Washington for everything. So goes the home, so goes the church, so goes the church, so goes the community, and so forth and so on. We quit rowing. We quit toiling and rowing. They were out there rowing the boat. They were in the midst of that storm. But I like the first part of verse 48. The Bible said, and he saw them. He saw them. What do you mean today, Dwayne? What do you mean, preacher? Even in the midst of the storm, even though you may be rowing as hard as you can row, it may be that the wind is blowing so hard that the waves are covering up the boat of life that you're in. Rest assured tonight that the Lord sees you where you're at. He knows exactly in where you're at in the storm. Amen. And when you can't see Jesus, how many of you been in a storm and you feel like you're all alone? There's nobody out there. There's nobody listening. You cried out and God seems a million miles away. Remember this, when you can't see him, he sees you. They were far enough out there in the sea that they couldn't see the Lord up on that mountain. They couldn't see where the Lord was at praying to God the Father. They were toiling and rowing in the midst of a storm. But the Bible said, and he saw them. Church, tonight the eye of the Lord is upon you. He's upon Brother Tim Kirby right now. Brother Tim Moritz, the Lord's eye is upon you. It's amazing that he knows where you and I are at individually right now. What we're going through, what we're going to go through, his eye is upon us. The Bible said, and when he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. There's going to be times in your life when the storm is so great that you're going to feel like you can't get to him. There may be even times in your life that you're going to feel like that he's so far away that even if you could bow your head and pray, you can't get it to him. But I like that, Brother Dale. He not only saw the disciples and toiling and rowing. The disciples was busy. They was trying to get to the other side. They couldn't get back to the shore to him and to the safety of the miracle worker, Jesus Christ. The Bible said, he cometh to them. Did you get that? In the midst of the storm, the Lord came down off the mountain. Even though he was up there praying, even though he was busy communing with the Father, he was never too busy to keep his eye upon them. And when they couldn't get to him, he cometh unto them walking on the water. When you can't get to Jesus, he'll get to you. There's times in my life that I felt so alone. I felt like that I couldn't get to the Lord. It felt like my prayers didn't leave the room. It felt like that I was just going to drown in the sea of trouble that I was in. But you know, one thing I've learned in the last 18 years of preaching is don't throw in the oar yet. Keep on praying. Why is that? Because I've preached for years that the Lord sees us, that he cares for us. Even though I feel like my prayers are not getting to him, he knows where I'm at and what I need. Even when it felt like I couldn't get to him, he came to me where I was at. And he come to me in my time of need, just like he'll come to you, just like he'll come to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, just like he'll come to Dwayne and Kim Tester. He'll see us through. He'll see us through. Brother Rodney, if you read the rest of that context or scripture, the Bible said, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. They thought they saw a ghost. Am I right, Brother Tim? I mean, you've studied the Bible well for more years than I have. The disciples thought they saw a ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but if I seen a man walking on the water in the midst of the storm, I'd probably cry out too. Would you not? They didn't know, have the words to say. Sister Kim, it's just like when you was at the lake the other day. Imagine seeing somebody walking on the water beside you while you was skiing. You'd have cried out too. I would have cried. Not knowing what to say. Now, I don't know how many of you here believe in ghosts. My grandma talked about haints. What is a haint? Brother Tim, help me out there. What's a haint? Is that a ghost? A booger. He's a booger. He had boogers at his house. I had haints at ours. My grandma always said, boy, you better be good. Them haints will get you. We'd go to bed. We wouldn't peek out of the covers all night. She knew how to get us to stay in the bed. But they thought they saw a ghost, and they cried out. I said, well, what's so important about that? There's going to be times in your life that the storm's so great and the storm is so big. You're going to be so busy toiling and rowing just to try to make it through that you may not even recognize the Lord when he shows up. You may not even recognize the help that's on the way. Because why? Just like Peter, when Peter walked on the water, he got so focused on the storm that he took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. We are so caught up today, and so many today are so caught up in the storm that when the Lord does show up, it scares them. Churches today are scared of the Lord. I'm afraid. I've been in churches before, and I know of one church in particular in this county. There's this elderly gentleman visited the church, and he sat down. He got real close to the slobber section. He's sitting there and he's enjoying the preaching he's hearing. I mean, the Lord was meeting with him. He got to shouting a little bit. You know, they escorted that man out of the church. In this county, escorted him out of that church. And to this day, I don't know that the man ever went back to church. Churches today, we're so worried about what people think and how things are that we won't even let the Lord manifest himself in people's lives in the way that, I mean, Brother Dale may get up and shout in a little bit. That doesn't mean that I have to say anything to him, because I don't shout. Well, I don't know why Brother Dale shouted. I didn't feel nothing. Well, maybe I wasn't looking for nothing. We come to church out of a habit, but do we really come looking for the Lord? They weren't expecting the Lord to come to them on the water. They just watched this man feed 5,000 people. They've seen him work miracles that were beyond belief. Amen. And the Bible just tells us what the problem was. The Bible says their heart was hard. Am I right? Read what it says. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, storms will harden you quicker than anything. Storms, these boys wanted to be with Jesus so bad that he had to force them into a ship. But it didn't take but a halfway trip across the sea and get caught in a storm till their hearts got hard. Why was that? Because they were so focused on the trouble, the trials, and all that was going on, they lost sight of who Jesus was. And the Bible says there, back again in verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them. There's going to be times in your life that you can't see Jesus. There's going to be times that you can't get to Jesus. When you can't see him, he sees you. When you can't get to him, he gets to you. And there's going to be times in your life you ain't going to know what to say. You ever been in a place in your life that you couldn't pray? You ever been so troubled in your soul and spirit that you couldn't pray? But you're looking at one. You're looking at a man that has had his fair share of issues with that. I never knew what trouble was in my life till I started preaching. Some of the meanest people I ever met was in churches. And Brother Dale laid his time there when I first started preaching. I didn't even know how to pray anymore. I was so focused on the trouble. I was so focused on their church. There's going to be trouble. It's coming. You can rest assured. But as a young man of God, I grew up in these churches and these mountains. But I grew up sitting in pews. I grew up sitting in pews not knowing all that could go on, all the hurt and the pain and the troubles and the trials that went on. And there was periods and times in my ministry that I guess you could say I got hard. Brother Dale, one of the most scary things that ever happened to me, I lost my tears, brother. I couldn't even cry no more. I'd go to a funeral and I couldn't even cry. Why? Because I got so hard. And I'd pray, God, help me. Help me. Help me to pray again. Help me to love like I did. Help me to just be humble, God. Help me squeeze my heart till the juice runs out of my eye. And Brother Tim, it's just like I was praying to that wall. I was focused on Dwayne. I was focused on my storm. I was focused on all of the things around, and I got hard. And Brother John, it wasn't long. It wasn't long. I didn't quit on God. I just kept pushing on through. I kept on shouldering the burden, the hurt, the pain. I prayed for my boy.
My boy was so hurt, he didn't want to go to church no more. Daddy, I don't want to have no part of that. And I was worried about my young, but I just kept on trying to go forward. Put on a good smile, good face, and move forward. There was one Sunday. I got in the pulpit, Brother Finley. I was broke. I mean, I had something to preach, but I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it wasn't from God. It wasn't from God. It was from Dwayne. I was just going through the motions. And I got in that pulpit. And I opened my Bible. Well, God just spoke to me. When I couldn't see him, he was looking at me. When I couldn't get to him, he got to me. And through that period of time when I couldn't talk, he talked to me. He spoke peace into my heart. Brother John, I didn't preach that Sunday, but boy, I got down behind that pulpit. I'm sure the church thought, what is that boy doing? But I just went to praying and to calling on God and to shouting. I got my tears back. I started feeling what I was preaching about again. I stand before you today not giving you some kind of sob story. I'm just who I am. I learned from my own mistakes. God helped me because those times that I couldn't see him, I couldn't get to him. I didn't know what to say. When you don't know what to say, when you don't know what to pray, rest assured he'll speak peace into your life. Church, that's what he wants to do for us. Understand that God wants the best for you and I. All he wanted was to get the disciples to the other side. Why? He still had work to do. They were still in training. He wasn't done with them yet. Church, he ain't done with you. He ain't done with you. He ain't done with me. Amen. He's got a work for us to do. We just got to keep on rowing the boat. Let God be God. You and I just need to be the children. I know I preach more to this side. They just look like they needed it more than you all did. Amen, sis. When you can't see Jesus, he sees you. When you can't get to him, he'll get to you. When you don't know what to say, he'll speak to you. God is still God today, church. He's still God. He's still wanting to do a work. There's souls to be saved. There's saints to be encouraged. Will there be storms in our life? Rest assured. Rest assured, they're coming. If I can leave you with one thought, if I never come back here again and preach, keep rowing the boat. Keep rowing the boat. Don't give up. Amen. Amen. See, if you'll come to the piano tonight, everybody stand for just a minute.